I'd like to invite you now to take your Bibles and to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 18 as we continue in our consideration of the gospel according to Isaiah, as I have called it. And we are in the section in Isaiah in which he has been given oracles by Yahweh to speak against the nations. And this morning, we turn our attention to the oracle that was spoken concerning Cush, the land of Cush that was south and west of Israel and Judah. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 18 or to take a pew Bible and to turn there. And I would like to also invite you now to stand for the reading of God's word. Oh, land of whirring wings that is beyond the rivers of Cush, which sends ambassadors by the sea in vessels of papyrus on the waters. Go, you swift messengers, to a nation tall and smooth, to a people feared near and far, a nation mighty and conquering, whose land the rivers divide. All you inhabitants of the world, you who dwell on the earth, when a signal is raised on the mountains, look. When a trumpet is blown, hear. For thus the Lord said to me, I will quietly look for my dwelling, like clear heat in sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the blossom is over and the flower becomes a ripening grape, he cuts off the shoots with pruning hooks, and the spreading branches he lops off and clears away. They shall all of them be left to the birds of prey of the mountains and to the beasts of the earth. And the birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. At that time, tribute will be brought to the Lord of hosts. From a people tall and smooth, from a people feared near and far, a nation mighty and conquering, whose land the rivers divide, to Mount Zion, the place of the name of the Lord of hosts. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the oracles that are contained in the book of Isaiah. We thank you, Lord, that they are fruitful and profitable to us as your people, as we seek to be faithful to your plans and your purposes in this generation. Help us now to hear, to receive, to believe, and to be more and more fashioned in accord with your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. On Wednesday, this past Wednesday of this week, I woke up at around 3 a.m. with what was possibly the most painful headache that I have had in a long, long time. It hurt so much that it made me nauseous. I don't know that I'm prone to migraines. It may have been a migraine. It was certainly an incredibly painful headache. It could have been caused, in part at least, and I think by stress. This week has been a uniquely painful and stressful week in ministry. And experiences like that have a tendency to manifest themselves even physically. It could also have been caused by the weather. I looked out of my window that night and noticed that the streets were wet and that a storm front had come through. I've always been sensitive to barometric pressure changes, even when I was a kid. I remember being a little kid and watching a storm come through and the hours preceding the actual falling of the rain as the sky was darkening, my head would begin to hurt. But this is one of the more painful headaches that I've had in a long, long time. And I was desperate for relief. The Tylenol I took simply wasn't working fast enough. And I was contemplating rummaging through our medicine cabinet to see if I might have something, anything stronger. I remember that there was some pain medication that was prescribed several years ago when I had my wisdom teeth pulled and wondered if maybe I should see if I could find and take some of those pills, but there was really nothing else that I could do and no other relief to be found. So I just had to walk the halls and sit in my office chair and pray and wait. And slowly, incrementally, the pain began to subside. You see, when we feel pain, we often rush to find a remedy. We're desperate, and we rush to find a remedy. We are quick to take action, to do whatever we can to alleviate the suffering, to nurse the discomfort, to minister in some way to our worry, our anxiety that starts to emerge when we think that the pain isn't going to go away. Things are not changing fast enough. Things are not healing fast enough. We want something, anything, to dull the pain, calm the fear. And it's not just physical pain, but emotional pain, spiritual distress. You see, things like vulnerability, they are tremendously uncomfortable to feel. And as soon as we start to feel vulnerable, our instincts are often to spring into action. We rush to do whatever we can to find a remedy. When we feel vulnerable, when we feel exposed, I know that when I feel vulnerable, when I feel exposed, when I'm peppered with questions that make me uncomfortable, my instinct is to quickly begin to maneuver, to take action, to get out in front, to craft, to control. We rush to find something, anything, that we can use to leverage to our advantage, to help ourselves, to protect ourselves, to stop the pain. Cush is a nation of pain management. In a world where Isaiah is prophesying, the nations are in pain. The entire world is under the threat of the rising Assyrian Empire. And all the nations feel it. All the nations know it. And they are desperately searching to find a remedy for their pain, to alleviate their fears. In our text for this morning, we read that the nation of Cush offers itself as an expedient remedy for those who want and need and desire relief. As far as the ancient Israelites were concerned, the nation of Cush was at the end of the world. It was a region called Ethiopia by the Greeks, south and west of Israel and below Egypt. In the history of antiquity, the Cushitic people were tall with shining skin and fearsome in their numberless regiments. The nation of Cush was becoming a formidable yet unfamiliar nation from a distant land. And around 730 BC, not long after Isaiah became a prophet, Cush was ruled by the powerful king Pianchi, who invaded Egypt and ushered in a new kingdom to vie for power and world domination on the world stage. And as Cush grew in strength, Isaiah tells us in verses 1 and 2 that they sent out ambassadors by the sea in vessels of papyrus to all the minor kingdoms of Mesopotamia. They moved quickly, these ambassadors, and they went with a message on their lips: rely on us. The world is getting scary. You find yourself in a place of fear and uncertainty and pain. Rely on us, and we will defend you against Assyria. We will calm your fears. We will relieve your pain. Cush was a formidable kingdom that grew strong through its tactics of maneuvering and messaging. They were quick to move and quick to talk, quick to step into spaces and places where there was perceived need, quick to promise answers for all of your troubles, quick to take control as they offer a relief for pain. Cush stands for something, as all of the nations do, as we've been making our way through the oracles against the nations. And Cush stands for maneuvering and messaging in order to take control. And the nations who were afraid, who were in pain, they were quick to put their trust in Cush. When we are afraid, when we are in pain, when we feel vulnerable, our instincts are to look to Cush, to trust in the power that moves quickly, to trust in the power that maneuvers quickly, to trust in the power that crafts plausible messages and reassures us with a gospel, a good news. We will take control. We will take control of the situation. We will cause your peace. But Isaiah tells us that while Cush might offer momentary relief, it is a false hope. For Cush cannot save. And more than that, it may be that God doesn't want the pain to go away so quickly. It may be that there is work that God is actually doing in us and in his people through the pain. It may be that God is teaching us something through the pain. Isaiah is prophesying to the nations, and Isaiah is calling out not just to Israel, not just to Judah, but to all the world. And God says, don't look to Cush. Look to me. Look to Yahweh. Hear me. Don't look for the ships on the crests of the waves that you are longing for, that you are hoping for, that will come and deliver you and save you. Don't listen to the chatter of the ambassadors. who talk smooth, plausibly, convincingly. God is teaching us to trust in him through the pain. Through the painful nights that seem to go on forever. And we ask, when will this end? When will the hurting go away? He is teaching us to look to him in our moments of vulnerability. Isaiah is saying in our text, look to God. Listen to God. In verse 3 of our text, Isaiah says, all you inhabitants of the world, every man, woman, and child, you who dwell on the earth, when a signal is raised on the mountains, look. God is making himself known. God is making himself clear. God is presenting himself in our moment of pain. And he is saying, cast your eyes upon me. Direct your attention to me. Give your devotion to me. God is like a mountain who desires to fill the entirety of our vision. That when trouble and pain come knocking on the door, we might look to him. Isaiah says in verse 3, when a trumpet is blown, hear. God is like a trumpet. He makes his word known clearly. Crisply. It's like a sound that can fill the entirety of our ears. And he offers us a word of comfort, a word of truth, a word of healing. He and he alone can offer to us a true gospel message that can save. It is he and he alone who can stop the pain. For thus the Lord said to me, Isaiah writes in verse 4, I will quietly look from my dwelling like clear heat and sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. And Isaiah is telling us that God, he is not in a rush. He's quiet. He is moving slowly. He doesn't have to maneuver. He doesn't have to message. He doesn't have to smooth everything over in an instant. He acts in accord with his perfect will, and he sovereignly orders all things. And when the time is right, he can make the mountains low, and he can take the valleys and bring them up. But in the meantime, he is calling us to wait, to trust. To look to him. Now the question is, did the people of God trust in the word of the Lord? Did they trust God and put their trust in him that he would save them out of their pain, out of their sorrow, out of the threat of Assyria, out of their discomfort, out of their oppressive sense of vulnerability? Do we trust him? Do we trust in what he's doing in our midst? Do we trust him even as we feel the pain? God's purpose and God's plan, as we see in verse 7, is to bring about a harvest of righteousness, to gather to himself on his holy mountain and in his kingdom that is rising, a people who gather in trust in him. It's been a hard week. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been a painful week. It's been a week filled with changes that were unexpected and undesired. It's been a week filled with concern, worry, fear, pain. And in those moments, there is always the strong instinct to mobilize quickly, to maneuver, to message, to manage, to take control of the situation. But God wants us to slow down, to look to Him, to listen to Him, to trust in Him. This summer, as you know, has been a summer of psalms. We have been singing through the psalms, and I have taken on the practice of reading a psalm before every meeting that I take this summer. And on Thursday, I had to go to what was a particularly difficult meeting. And before I began, I took with me and opened up my Psalter. I bought a Psalter that I've been using throughout the summer. And I opened up the Psalter and I turned to what was the next psalm on the page as I'm making my way through them systematically. And as I opened up the Psalter and I turned to the next psalm, it was Psalm 46. And as I read Psalm 46 and have thought about that for the last few days, it seems to me that this is a psalm that Isaiah would have approved of. It's a psalm that I think Isaiah would have prayed. And I think it's a psalm that we must pray. And so the psalmist writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High, God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come. Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, when the world is turned upside down and we are feeling disoriented and unsure, when there is fear and pain, our instincts are to rush, to maneuver, to message, to take control, to do whatever we can to manage the pain and to relieve our hurt. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to not waste our pain, to see this as an opportunity for us to focus our attention more and more upon you, and to trust that you are the head of the church, and to trust that because Christ did not fail, your church cannot fail. To trust and to know that you hold the world in the palm of your hand, and that at your word, the world melts, but you call us to be still, to listen to you, and to trust in you. Help us so to do, now and always, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.